Tony La Russa joins us on Sports Byline. He managed for 34 seasons with the White Sox, Oakland, and the Cardinals, and he was the first manager ever to win multiple pennants in both the American League and National League, and one of only two managers to win World Series in both leagues. Of course, two with St. Louis and one with the Oakland A's. Tony, I know when it was announced, you were very humble about it. You seemed somewhat surprised, but given your record, now that you've had a chance to kind of reflect and take it in, what have been your reactions and your feelings about going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, first of all, you dream about certain things when you're a kid, you know, being a world champion, you know, playing in a big league, things like that. But Hall of Fame was never part of the dream. So, but I do believe that by and large, Hall of Fame recognizes players. I mean, that's the game. And I always thought if you were a manager, you had to be really a colorful personality like Tommy or Sparky or Earl. You know, guys that had big personalities that were really fun for the game. And, you know, I'm kind of a relentless kind of grinder. But then I was told, well, you got some statistics, so it's going to happen. And I just had convinced myself that it just couldn't happen the first ballot. I thought Bobby and Joe had quit a year before I did, and I thought I'd have to wait. So when they said, you're in, I was stunned, and I still am.
You're going in, as you just alluded to, with Bobby Cox and Joe Torre, and I think of all three of you, and collectively there seems to be a similarity there, and I think one is the love of baseball, and the other was the focus on detail. What are the similarities that you see having managed against these two guys?
It's a good observation, Ron, because I do believe that love of the game is where it starts, and both Bobby and Joe are famous that everybody has played for him, has told about how he makes sure that they understand why they're doing it and then what they have to do. I also think that, you know, you have to really recognize how fortunate you are when you're in a good organizational situation. And, in my case, I was perfect the whole 30 years between the White Sox, the A's, and the Cardinals. And I know Bobby in Atlanta had a terrific situation because, you know, the organization, you got to have ownership, you got to have scouting development, you got a front office that gets the players, and then you play them, you know. So I really felt we had an appreciation of the game, and now we've gotten to know each other real personal. We talk about our mentors, and a guy like George Kissel, for example, was a legendary teacher with the Cardinals that impacted both Joe and myself.
I thought it was interesting. Your career, of course, was not one that would jump out at you as a player. I mean, you had a career batting average of .199, but I love the quote from you when you said, when I was around 20 or 21, I played for a couple of managers, and they said, start thinking about managing.
Yeah. That gets your attention in a hurry, and pretty soon you realize you're more a suspect than a prospect. But I was kind of hard-headed, and I played another few more years futilely. But, I love playing it. I didn't want to give it up. But I've been very, very, very fortunate to stay in the game on the coaching side, the managing side. So it's worked out.
I think the other part of the hallmark of your detail orientation is why are you so anal about everything? Well, you said I couldn't really hit. I couldn't really throw or play defense. I can't hit or throw or play defense now. The only thing I could do is be prepared as I can be. How did you go through that preparation? What was Tony La Russa's preparation mode?
Well, you got to start from a simple place. And, one of the guys that was terrific with young players, young managers, was Sparky Anderson. Sparky was just a fountain of information who would look forward to sharing it with you. And the one thing he would tell you always is, look, your number one responsibility as a manager is to put guys in the right place. You and your coaching staff. Just put them in a position to succeed, whether you got to coach them or, you know, understand their strengths and weaknesses. So to do that, we always felt like it was a combination of getting to know your player, what he can do, what he struggles with, and then the teams you play against. So, you know, that comes along with study and analysis and preparation. And it's an important part, Ron, but I really believe that the key, more important than the preparation, it's just like if you study for a test and then you walk into the test and you don't concentrate. I mean, the competition is the reason that you practice and prepare. And we always concentrated when the first pitch was thrown. Let's just take a good, hard shot at our best effort.
The other thing, Tony, that I always admired about you, and I watched you whether you were in Oakland or whether you were in St. Louis, your intuitiveness about players. And what I mean by that is that you seemed to know what their true talents were, and you put them in an environment in order to succeed. I mean, one of the things that you certainly did was that you told people and pitchers about their roles as far as, you know, one inning here, or they're a, you know, they're a stopper, they're a closer, or that sort of thing. How did you develop that intuitiveness about players and how to use them?
But it's just, it's part of the learning process, Ron. I mean, your intuition is kind of the connection between your brain and your gut. Well, you got to put something in your brain, and that was the study. You know, I was given some great advice, like to say Ron Barr hits 320 against pitcher A and 220 against pitcher B. Well, other than just having that and trying to put them against A and not B, there really is a lot of gold if you figure out, wait a minute, what kind of pitcher is A? And then if you identify a style and B's got a different one, then you can see that, you know, a strength of Ron is hitting against maybe a guy that's got a high fastball, or if a breaking ball changeup guy he can't hit, or vice versa. So, you know, we really tried to take that, you know, put guys in the right position to win and breaking it down with their skill level, with their toughness level, with their willingness to play the game right. And it's, you know, it's hard work. And that's one of the things you learn. You know, if you're superficial, and you're not going to be doing your job well.
You know, I also think it's interesting that you managed three teams, Chicago, Oakland, and the Cardinals, and you had three distinctive type of owners that you worked for. I wonder if you would talk about each one and your impressions of them and how it worked so well with each of them.
Well, I gladly will do that, because that's why I don't really take this Hall of Fame or, you know, whatever the accolade is on a personal basis, because you're part of an organization. And you start with ownership. I was given my break in the managing by Bill Veeck and his general manager, Roland Heeman. And I was, you know, as we already said, a lousy player. I only managed in minor leagues parts of 2 years, and I got a big league chance. So, I mean, that's a very, very quick promotion. And I just think that Bill saw something, probably a law degree, and he wanted to take a shot. So I had Bill for only a year and a half, and then Jerry Reinsdorf bought the club. And, you know, same Jerry Reinsdorf that has the White Sox now and owns the Bulls when Michael was there with the six rings. And he was a delight to a really a personable guy that loved the game, wanted to ask you a million questions, not to second guess you, but just because he wanted to learn how the game was played. And we remained friends. And then I come to Oakland with probably the neatest man with resources that anybody could ever meet, Walter Haas, chairman, and just – Levi Strauss, he took them where they are now, and he brought that same thing to the A's. Just a tremendous human quality, his obvious caring for you made you want to not disappoint him. And I'm talking about anybody put on that uniform, even the most arrogant guy, most selfish guy, did not want to disappoint Walter. He had amazing quality. And then I go over to St. Louis, and you have just when I signed. The Bush family owned it, but within 2 weeks they sold it to a local group headed by Bill DeWitt, who had a long history. His dad was with Cincinnati and the Browns, and Bill had been part owner of a couple of teams. So Bill put together a group, and I believe, you know, his what now? This is 18 years that they've had the team, 19 years, 18 years. It's the most successful time in the history of the Cardinals. So he's very, very well versed in baseball. He's a very good person. He pays attention without getting in the way.
Walter Haas Jr., who was Walter Haas Sr.'s son, had a very interesting quote. He said, "Walter made it clear to me that Tony would be the only manager we'd have as long as we owned the team. Tony was old school and new school, an innovator and an incredible leader." That's quite a compliment.
Well, you know, I had not heard that one until you just said it, but you're right. I mean, it chokes me up a little bit because of my high esteem for Walter and Wally. I mean, it was a very special time for the Oakland A's. You know, they replaced Charlie Finley, and, you know, Charlie did not really give back a lot. He took quite a bit. And then they had, you know, Mr. Hoff, Mr. Schott, and, you know, and they resurrected the franchise. But I really think that that was a golden era. And to have made that impression, well, I just, you know, I probably fooled Walter quite a bit, but our family became part of his family, and that's why we still live here.
How hard was it for you to leave the Oakland A's?
Not hard at all, because it coincided with Walter. When Walter announced he was going to sell it, you know, our good friend Bill Walsh was one of the guys that would always tell you, you know, your shelf life in whatever, if you're a major coach or manager in a major sport, you know, somewhere around 6, 8 years, 10 years tops, everybody gets tired of you. The fans, the media, the players, and it's time to go. And, you know, about that ninth year, I was lucky because we had some great times, but I really felt like, you know, a change of scenery would be good for the franchise, and the fact that Walter was going to sell, that was going to be it. As it turned out, he passed away the last home game of 1995, but that was me my last year, and all was tied into if the Hasses were not going to own the club, then it was time for somebody new to manage a team for the new ownership.
Tony La Russa, who managed for 34 seasons, now a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the players that touched him and he touched as well. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.